Rahman Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining us on Vilayat News. I'm Abru Sabzwari, and now a look at the headlines for today. Shia and Sunni Muslims in Pakistan protest against the attack on Lady Zainab's shrine in Syria. In Iraq, more than 75 people have been killed in countrywide bombings. Protests flare in Bahrain after Imam Jafar Sadiq Mosque blast. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sees Morsi's fall as a sign of Islam's weakness. A general strike in the Indian-administered Kashmir continues for the third day. In Pakistan, at least four people were killed and many injured in two separate bomb attacks in Karachi. Egypt security forces storm Iran's Al Alam news office in Cairo. The UN Refugee Agency says there are more than 625,000 Syrian refugees in Lebanon. And now, the news in detail. The terrorist attack in Syria on the holy shrine of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, the daughter of the first holy Imam Ali alayhi salam and granddaughter of the holy prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has sparked protests worldwide. Sunni and Shias alike in Pakistan have staged protests across the country to condemn the attack. Majlis-e-Wahdat-e-Muslimin, Tehreek-e-Islami, Shia Ulama Council, Imamia Students Organization, Jafriya Students Organization, Asghariya Students Organization, Sindh Shia Organization, Peygham-e-Karbala Foundation, Nasiran-e-Imam Foundation, and other local organizations across the country took to the streets shouting slogans of condemnation. Rebels launched a number of mortar shells into Sayyida Zainab's shrine, murdering the shrine's managing director and causing damage. In response, the fighters of the public committees carried out military operations against the militants' stronghold in Hajira, injuring a number of militants. The region of Sayyida Zainab's holy shrine in the Damascus countryside is exposed to daily mortar shelling and rocket-propelled grenades fired by armed groups. Protesters demanded the Islamic Ummah to issue fatwas against the Takfiri terrorists who are desecrating the holy shrines of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and their companions in Syria and other places. In Pakistan, thousands of men, women and children marched from Numesh Chowrangi to Tibet Center under the guidance of Majlis-e-Wahdat-e-Muslimin, Imamia Students Organization and Markazi Tanzeem-e-Aza. Speaking to protesters, Alama Ijaz Beheshti, Mullana Munawwar Naqvi, Alama Sadiq Taqwi and Alama Didar Jalbani of the MWM, Athar Imran of the ISO and Alama Jafar Raza and Ali Hussein of the Tanzeem-e-Aza condemned the terrorist attack. MWM Senior Vice Chairman Mulana Muhammad Amin Shahidi said the attack on the shrine of Sayyida Zainab was an attack on the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and could not possibly have been done by Muslims, but in fact the attack was carried out by Zionist agents who are creating sectarian divide all across the world. At least 75 people have been killed in a series of car bombings and shootings across Iraq. 12 car bombs and a roadside bomb struck different commercial areas in Baghdad's predominantly Shia districts on Saturday. At least 65 people died and about 200 others were wounded as blasts went off after iftar, the breaking of the daily Ramadan fast. In the deadliest attacks, two car bombs claimed the lives of 12 people in Karada, central Baghdad, while two car explosions and a roadside bomb hit Zafraniya, southwest of Baghdad. Earlier in the day, gunmen shot and killed Basim Mahmoud, a leader of the anti-Al-Qaeda group Sahwa, and two of his bodyguards near the city of Baquba. Meanwhile, a bomb blast in Madain, about 14 miles southeast of Baghdad, killed five people. In the northern city of Mosul, an explosion killed one woman and wounded 25 others. The AFP news agency said the death toll for the month of July alone is about 525, mostly from the Shia community. According to the United Nations, about 2,500 people have been killed in Iraq in just the past 3 months. Iraq has been experiencing a surge in deadly attacks since the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. Iraqi officials say the acts of violence are being committed as part of a foreign-backed plot to foment sectarian strife in the country. In Bahrain, Al-Khalifa mercenaries attacked the mosque of the Holy Sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, in Salmabad. The number of Al-Khalifa regime attacks on Shia mosques has risen sharply since the beginning of the Ramadan. A Salmabad news channel released pictures of the mosque in Salmabad and reported this mosque has once again come under attack after it was once destroyed in 2011 by the Al-Khalifa regime. Bahraini regime forces clashed with pro-democracy protesters early Friday, leaving several protesters wounded, including a policeman who was shot with a homemade gun. Hundreds took part in protests that erupted late Thursday and lasted until the early hours of Friday across several Shia villages after a call was issued by the opposition February 14 Coalition Youth Group. Following the eruption of the protests, the Bahraini regime launched a brutal crackdown on the peaceful protests and called in Saudi-led Arab forces from neighboring states to assist the suppression. Dozens of Bahraini people have been killed in the crackdown, and security forces have arrested hundreds, including doctors and nurses. Bahrainis say they will continue holding demonstrations until their demand for the establishment of a democratically elected government is met. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has suggested the fall of the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi demonstrates the weaknesses of political Islamist movements. In a statement to the German Weekly, Netanyahu said he believes that over the long haul, these radical Islamic regimes are going to fail because they don't offer the adequate enfranchisement that is needed to develop a country economically, politically, and culturally. He said he thought radical Islamism was wholly unsuited to dealing with a global economic and information revolution and goes right back to medievalism against the whole thrust of modernity, so over time it's bound to fail. Israel had previously responded more cautiously to Morsi's removal by the Egyptian army on July 3rd. Netanyahu avoided any comment at the time, though a confidant expressed hope that Egypt's new leaders may restore largely frozen contact with Israel. The general strike in the Indian-administered Kashmir continues for the third consecutive day against the recent killing of protesters by Indian forces. All businesses and shops were shut down across the Muslim-majority region as a curfew was imposed by security forces on Sunday. The general strike, which started on Friday, was called by religious groups and pro-independence leaders. Media reports say almost all institutions and businesses remained closed and traffic strayed off the streets in Srinagar and some other major towns of the Kashmir Valley. Reports further indicated that all schools and government offices remained closed in the disputed valley. The developments come after the Indian troops fired at protesters in the region on Thursday, killing at least seven people and wounding dozen others. The Kashmiris were demonstrating against what they described the desecration of the Holy Quran by Indian forces. Separatist leaders say the Indian government should hold the security forces accountable for human rights violations in Kashmir. Authorities have deployed large police and paramilitary troops in most parts of the capital of Srinagar to prevent fresh street demonstrations. Government forces have responded by imposing curfew and restrictions on the movement of people. Kashmir lies at the heart of more than 60 years of hostility between India and Pakistan. Both neighbors claim the region in full, but have partial control over it. The neighbors agreed on a ceasefire in 2003 and launched a peace process the following year. Since then, there have been sporadic clashes with both sides accusing the other of violating the ceasefire. In Pakistan, at least four people were killed and several others, including a senior government official, were injured when two separate blasts shook Karachi Saturday evening. The first explosion took place shortly before sundown near Isa Nagri graveyard in Gulshan-e-Iqbal. Nasser Lodi, a senior police officer in Karachi, said apparently the bomb was planted in a motorcycle. Eight people were injured, some of whom are in critical condition. Governor of Sindh, Dr. Ishratul Ibad, later sought a report from the Inspector General of Sindh Police, who formed a team headed by the DIG Police East to investigate the incident. While police were busy collecting evidence from the scene, another explosion inside a flat in Patelpara left three people dead and one injured. Police said the blast occurred on the third floor of a three-story building, which was rented out only 4 days prior to the blast. SP Raja Umar Khattab of the CID's counter-terrorism unit said it seems the blast occurred when explosive material, also containing ball bearings, was mishandled by people in the flat. Police took in an injured suspect into custody for further interrogation, who informed investigators that the homemade explosive device was being prepared to target a Yom-e Ali procession. The wounded suspect, who was in police custody, also confessed that the one of the persons who had died in the accidental explosion was an expert bomb maker and an important member of a proscribed religious organization. He added that the bomb maker had been picked up by security personnel 6 months back. Karachi is a city of 18 million people and has been plagued for years by ethnic, sectarian, and political violence. Egyptian security forces have stormed the office of Iran's Al-A'lam, the Arabic language news channel in the capital city, Cairo, confiscating their equipment. Egyptian forces also arrested Ahmed Al-Soufi, who serves as the Cairo bureau chief for the station on Saturday, and refused to provide any explanation for their acts. Egypt's military-led authorities have shut down several stations, including one operated by the Muslim Brotherhood, after former President Mohamed Morsi was toppled by the army. On July 3rd, Egyptian security forces raided the offices of Al Jazeera, Mubashir Misr News Channel, and detained at least five of its staff. Al Jazeera's Egyptian station began broadcasting after the 2011 revolution that ousted the country's former dictator Hosni Mubarak. Since then, it has been accused by Egypt's opposition of being sympathetic to Morsi and his Muslim Brotherhood political party. Muslim Brotherhood-owned Egypt 25 was also forced off the air, and its managers were arrested shortly after Egypt's army chief, General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, announced that Morsi and his government were no longer in office. The authorities also shut down two other stations, Al-Hafiz and Al-Nas, after Morsi was overthrown. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, says more than 625,000 Syrian refugees are receiving aid in neighboring Lebanon. According to a UNHCR report released on Sunday, the recent figure comes after the registrations with its office in the Arab country increased by 13,000. The report also says that the number of registered refugees is over 530,000, adding that more than 95,000 people are currently waiting for the completion of their registration process.
We have not seen a refugee outflow escalate at such a frightening rate since the Rwandan genocide almost 20 years ago.
This week, more than 429,899 Syrian refugees reportedly received food coupons from the World Food Program through the Refugees Danish Board, the International Handicapped Organization, and a number of Italian NGOs. Meanwhile, Beirut has called on the UN Security Council, as well as international donors, to help with it hosting the growing number of Syrian refugees. The Lebanese government officials, aid workers, and experts believe the refugee figure is higher by an additional several hundred thousand people, and it does not include the tens of thousands of displaced Syrians in Lebanon who are well off or not relying on humanitarian assistance. Syria has been gripped by a deadly unrest since March 2011, and many people, including large numbers of government forces, have been killed in the violence. During this holy month of Ramadan, we request all of you to please remember the Muslim families and innocent children suffering all across the world in places such as Syria, Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, Turkey, Egypt, and wherever else the Muslim Ummah is facing turmoil. Please also remember to pray for and support the families of the Shuhada who are being brutally tortured and killed for being Shia. And that brings us to the end of our bulletin today. If you'd like to contribute your community's news, you can email us at news@vilayattv.org. You can also catch up on the latest headlines and more by visiting our website, vilayattv.org, or subscribe to and follow us on our YouTube and Facebook pages, Vilayat TV USA. Many thanks for joining us. Till next time, I'm Abru Sabzwari. Fi amanillah.